Son in for the fight, regained the lead from Portraitunus. Vibrant Son a half, three quarters on Portraitunus. Then Coco Son running on from the back, Private Legacy. Vibrant Son, Coco Son's having a last ditch effort. Vibrant Son from Coco Son, Vibrant Son held on. Vibrant Son. Climbing Star Benedetta nearer the outside. Stretton Angel wider out. Here comes Learning to Fly. Learning to Fly is sprouting wings out wide. She's raced up to hit the lead from Climbing Star. Climbing Star fights back to win. Give up, pretend. Give up, pretend. Give up,
and now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
G'day, thanks so much for checking out our year-round carnival. A day late, need to give Vince a chance to be able to clock South Australia, and look, Stevie Wonder's work there. I couldn't find a song about climbing, so Higher Ground is the best we could do. Climbing Star, of course, winning the Sangster Stakes for Lachie Nindorf, his first Group 1 win, and Philip Stokes in the South Australian Oaks. The other Group 1 on the day was won by the Price Kent team and Mark Zara on Vibrant Son. Vince Accardi from Daily Sexual. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Here we are. It's Tuesday.
It is, but we've got the mouth guard in trying to break down exactly what happened on Saturday. And firstly, Vince, they may as well put the rail at 10 metres because the jockeys didn't want to go near it.
How's that? That was crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, not crazy. They said, let's get the winning happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose the fine line, or not even fine line, but the line is with Flemington, Randwick, for instance, if the wide lanes are always in play when the rail's true and the track's firm, but there's a difference. You can still win. There's just degrees of advantages. But on Saturday, the jockeys did not want to go anywhere near it. What's your thoughts over it?
Yeah, so obviously the inside must have been off. That's really all you can put it down to. And there is a little bit of evidence there when you look at the from the 600-metre point of view to the 400 on the helicopter view. You can see that those two sections are clearly below benchmark, even though overall below benchmark to the 800 they were, but there was a lot of farcical run races there, and if you take those away, it was clearly quicker. So it had a bit of corporate about it, Ralphie. It was a genuine two lengths off coming around that bend, and hence the reason why they've just all fan wide. It must have been not very good at all.
And that creates raffle racing, I suppose, when there's such variance there in the Sangster. When Climbing Star beats Learning to Fly, I thought, I reckon a few of these haven't turned up. And I mean, you know, the likes of Estriella, I Am Me, Zapateo, the horses that we know when they're right, they're real good quality mares. In the end, what have you scored the race and how's that theory stand up?
Yeah, well, okay. Well, overall, the winner, Climbing Star, plus 1.6, best of the day, pretty much line ball with the raw figures, which I thought was very interesting. Learning to Fly, plus 1.2, Benedetta, plus 1. Maybe that's the first level of insight that we can get, is because out of that group of horses, Benedetta was the one that performed.
Yep.
Compared to Zapateo, which initially just on the visuals, you know, obviously personal view because I backed it, right? I thought, are they going too fast? But I look at the speed and Benedetta's overall performance when I sort of break it down, delivered, in my view, very, very respectful within that half a length of what it's capable of. So that's probably a fair insight and probably keeps things fair for the horses above it. Now, when we look at horses like Estriella, well, you knew that we had that view. Well, I had that view that there could be some question marks around Estriella at the distance range. But then I sort of sit back and put the Ralphie hat on and ask myself, oh, is there plans for the Goodwood? You know, is this the same for a couple of these horses? They're different views, but maybe Estriella, is that going to the Goodwood?
I don't think so. I'll check the markets as we speak. But for those who didn't get our preview podcast, the position was pretty clear, and that is when a horse turns up first up in February, 10th of February, $4.50 and a $4, bang, gets the money. Flemington gets the money. Flemington again in a $750,000 prize money race. There's only so many times you can keep reheating the soup, even if you're a really good horse. And it wasn't the case of saying we don't think it can win, but the case of saying that there's a fair chance that it's already peaked this time in.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing with this horse is, knowing that there was just a little question mark about how well it can handle the 1,200 metres, going out that extra length faster than it's ever done before probably didn't help it. And hence why I guess the way I looked at it was the flag did come up inside the 200 metres, the white flag.
Yep.
So I'm done. And I look at the intel and there's some evidence there as well. The drop off between the four and the two is around 2.5 lengths. So it's all... it was probably all too much. Probably needed to be in a scenario where they're running maybe 1 to 2 lengths slow, or the horse is a little bit further back. And then just circling in on Zapateo, because I wanted to have a closer look at what happened there with this horse. As crazy as it sounds, like, I thought they were going, you know, is the horse going too fast? And it's hard to tell on the optics, right? It's just an estimate. And then I run the figures and I'm going, well, that's a new PB for that horse as well. So,
as far as early speed?
Yeah, as far as early speed goes. But my view is the Blue Jackets. They've missed a lot with their performances with horses. And
are you kicking yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, we often talk about mindset on this pod, and you've had this view about the stable just not quite being on point this time in, and so then when you follow your numbers and the horse doesn't perform, I suppose that adds to a personal frustration.
Well, this is it. The horse has peaked last start.
Yep.
And I just felt like there was another run there for sure, but that run wasn't there, and I can't sit here and say, because you've gone length faster than ever before, that's the reason why you failed. But that the flag was up even earlier than Esther Alley. I felt the flag was up when she turned for home. She couldn't have done any better. This is Jamie Carr on the horse. And the reality is, and I just thought about it, I go, oh, my goodness. I didn't do a lot of damage on it, but the reality is, I said, oh, it's already peaked. This because it was gone. It was gone on the turn. And
let me ask you about your mindset pre-race as well, because that horse was friendless in the market. I mean, that's always for all of us a sort of tough thing. We have to sometimes say, well, hang on, do we really want to go against the whole market? Now, sometimes you get a reward for that, but other times there's signal and there's noise.
Yeah, well, the way I looked at it was like this, Ralphie. It was a 1x4 play, so it wasn't like an all-in. Maybe I would have had a slightly different view, but again, knowing the way I am, it wasn't enough because all the other intel that came in other than the market wasn't enough. The reality was, in this situation, you're right about what you said about them being friendless and maybe the stable knew this is done. How do you know? Right?
Yeah.
I was never going to change my mind in the end. I wasn't going to be on Benedetta. I definitely didn't want to touch Estriella, and I just felt that if I want to call it anything sensible, I just went 1x4, but it doesn't help. The loss is a loss. It hurts.
Absolutely right. The IME, has it got more improvement left? That could be the one now for the Goodwood for this race.
Well, that's going there, is it, Ralphie?
I don't know. I'm trying to find the Goodwood market, and there's no bookies are putting up a market, even though it's only 2 weeks away. So I'm just trying to spitball here, but I just wonder if what she did first up compared to what she's done here, both times she's tapered late and in a high speed race, maybe she's the one who's got more improvement. And again, trying to figure out what the trainers are doing, maybe into a Goodwood with a big weight drop, they go, okay, maybe that's our big circle race.
It's got to make sense, Ralphie. It absolutely does. You can look at it a number of ways. 35 days off, maybe they didn't have the horse, you know, tuned up completely for, you know, a rebound off the 35 days, and this was just the final conditioning run. So it's quite possible this is the case with this horse. The performance of that horse, I felt when I compare it to Zapateo, was much better because they went very, very similar speed through the first section. There was very little difference between the 8 and the 4 other than there was probably a little flag already starting the show for Zapatea, and IME was holding on strong. And the taper at the end was a lot less than Estriala. So, yeah, that performance is definitely worthy of something more into its next start.
And no knock, by the way, on the winner of Climbing Star or Benedetta. They've pretty much run to their lead in. I ended up just hoping Benedetta in the sizzlers because I thought, well, you're the one with more to come 2 weeks. As it was, Climbing Star was the one who did climb. But 1.6 overall, that's about, for an open class sprint, I would pretty confidently say without looking it up that that's about as slow a Group 1 race as you could get in Australia this year.
Well, the big pluses they both got is they're both travelling. This is the first horse and the second horse. They're travelling 3.5 lengths below benchmark, Climbing Star 3.7 below, Learning to Fly. They're in that golden position against the lead speed. So you've got maximum energy efficiency. And then if you look and see their momentum flow, Climbing to Star was pretty much all sections above benchmark. No disadvantage at all coming around that softer part between the just inside the 600 to the 400. In fact, the horse was actually gaining acceleration. And the same with Learning to Fly, even though it wasn't quite as good as Climbing Star, its energy efficiency was excellent. So they really had optimum rides.
Well, yeah. Well, speaking of that, with Lachie Nindorf, that's his first Group 1 win.
Yeah.
Post race, it was a terrific interview with Bruce McAvaney. He was one of only two South Australian jockeys on the day that was riding in that Group 1 race. But Philip Stokes afterwards said, "Well, maybe the fence wasn't too bad getting underneath him." Now, of course, he's in the moment and he's excited as a Group 1 trainer, and rightfully so. But what lane was she actually in, Climbing Star? Because while she got inside a lot of them, she certainly wasn't on the inside.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Ralphie, myself personally, because the boys hasn't come up into the system yet.
Yep.
Of what they are. Usually when I do,
it was well off anyway.
Yeah, usually when I do, Sydney and that, I like to just look at the winner, but I didn't for South Australia. Yep. I just wait until the intel comes in. So I couldn't say off the top of my head where was it.
Well, we learned with Annabelle Neesham, she certainly gets some fit. So Learning to Fly, 8 weeks between runs. Yes, super wide lane advantage, but second best last hours of the day, third best last 800, 600. 400, second best last 200, super wide. So she certainly gets some fit 8 weeks between runs, back in distance from 1400 to 1200, Learning to Fly.
Yeah, well, here's the thing for both those horses, Ralphie. They're surely not done for the campaign.
I wouldn't be surprised if they go to the Goodwood, the three place getters, and maybe the first four across the line.
Like, if I had known, of course, that let's say the bar was going to be a lot lower.
Yeah.
Then Climbing Star's leading run of plus 1.5 was certainly going to be good enough, wasn't it?
That's it. She's just held it. In the Oaks, now, again, I didn't think they were going overly quick, and that's why you put the clock over it. And in the end, this is, and we mentioned about it, her leading one run. It was only, obviously a game of inches, one by nose. But to do this third up, it had a little setback apparently. So it was 5 weeks between runs of a soft tempo Moonee Valley Mile to win this and win this producing high speed. Gee, all honours to the training camp as well as Mark Zara's ride.
Oh, what a ride. I mean, no surprise this horse has ability, but that was just fantastic. Can this horse generate speed early? Yes, it can. Last campaign, there was a racing, packing them 6.2 above benchmark. This is back in October. This is first section. Then it went to Geelong and it was going 4.5 lengths above benchmark. Sure, that was shorter distances, but you knew this horse had capability of some sort of speed. But 5.3 above for a third up 2,000 metre performance. That's fantastic, Ralphie, first section. And yes, of course, the horse has dropped off, but it's only dropped off, I felt, significantly over the last 200 metres, and that's all conditioning because of the speed this horse travelled. I'm just sitting back here saying, I don't know what they're doing with this horse next, but there's more coming for this horse.
Really? So you can keep it going? Absolutely. So if it went to Queensland, that's the type of horse that could go again.
Well, I hope they do.
Try to make a case for Private Legacy on the Friday, Vince. This one hurt. $26
Big price
in the 17s, but So I could see what Craig was doing. He was just trying to get to that outside slingshot, and she's powered home to just miss. But ultimately, look, it was a nice performance, but this, again, is reflective that, you know, minus 0.6, minus 0.9, minus 0.9, yep. The three place getters, they're nice fillies, but this is below sort of the a different stratosphere to the Zardozis and the like from the AJC Oaks.
At the moment, yes. Yeah. Correct. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier, the race prior, Vince, were they walking in with Sione winning? You would have had the vomit bucket out just watching this with Foxy Frida.
Well, the good news is I didn't end up backing.
You ended up saying, yeah.
So that's not a bad thing, but I can't work it out. How do you go in a big field like this and you're travelling 12 lengths below benchmark?
Good luck, everything back in the field from there.
How does that happen?
Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. No one really capitalised on it either. No one was really keen to do any serious moves either. But there was a nice shift in the mid-race. They started to pick up the tempo. If I look at, you know, the winner was going 13.2 lengths below benchmark, pretty close to the leader. The whole field in the mid-race, Ralphie, there was only a 2 lengths difference in terms of their scores above or below benchmark. Only one horse broke benchmark. Can you believe it? And who would it have been? Foxy Frida. I mean, what on earth was the rider doing there? 21.4 lengths below benchmark first section. Actually, let me just have a look. Who was the rider?
Blake Shearden. It was effectively, without the lone leader, this was like a Pride of Jenny Ray shape, wasn't it? In that Queen Elizabeth, because there's no fast leader, but everything else is just walking. And if you're out the back, you still had no chance.
No, that wouldn't be a Blake Shin, you know, good ride, really, when you look at it from there, unfortunately. Massive overextension in the mid-race. Huge last 400 metres. I mean, it's gone from minus 21.4 to 0.2 above. The only horse to break benchmark in the between the 8 and the 4. And you're done, Ralphie. When you have a almost, it's nearly 22 lengths mid-race move. Still, last 400 metres plus 7. This is also, you know, capturing that how much inefficiency there was with their energy. That horse should have been at least 5-6 lengths closer. It's easy for me to say. Perhaps just the way the race was going to pan out, it might have got caught in no man's land. That's quite possible, the scenario. But this was a farcical run race for a lot of horses.
Well, Sione, we wrote, this is in our sizzlers from Caulfield, a good market support for this second up run, elevated from minus 2.2 first up here 3 weeks earlier to plus 0.2 lengths above benchmark. This included a 1.6 length slowdown from the 600 to 400 last prep peak with 1.5 lengths best in the midweek card at Sandown. Second up March in a high-pressure firm track, benchmark 78. But on softer tracks, later one, it starts 5, 6, 7, and 8 with a ladder at listed level, and SA looks perfectly set up to go back there for a mare's stakes race at their carnival. And that's exactly what she did. And he's a beauty, Paddy Payne. When he targets the right time of year, doesn't he, with those horses? We mentioned it with those Tasmanian horses here. He's done it with a horse sending it back to Adelaide and just getting that off-season. And he's picked up a group two rather than try and throw into the absolute deep end.
Yeah, well, this horse compared to the other horse that he had all the picket fences and was sure had the right preparation going into this race and was trending in the right direction. I would have liked to have dialed in on this horse, but I didn't. I didn't dial in any of them in the end. But the reality, that was fantastic performance, Ralphie. And I don't believe this horse is still improving it as well. So I'll be very keen to see what Patrick does with this particular runner. A lot of horses would have got no damage out of this race and could easily back up and go somewhere else.
Well, I noticed it was 21s into 12s, Foxy Cleopatra, and it was like Foxy Frida, zero chance on that race shape.
For sure. In a similar scenario, probably just a length further ahead. So from a rider's point of view, you're a little tick there, 1 length further ahead, but actually closed a lot better than Foxy Frida as well.
You said not to discount Skybird could elevate sharply second up from its 1100 at Bendigo, and that's exactly what she did in race 5.
I thought that was a fantastic performance. I didn't personally feel that Skyboy was going to go as well as it did, personally. But then when I looked at the overall scorecard, I said, okay, well, that's inside this horse's wheelhouse's capability. Solid. fourth best performance of the day, 0.4 above benchmark. It didn't have any of the sections above the benchmark, but what was really evident here, just a superb ride, Ralphie. Absolutely. You couldn't have had the horse in a better position in terms of where you needed to be. Stalking that pack, the leader's going 2.7 above, and this horse is travelling 0.9 below. It's just a perfect spot to be in, Ralphie. The move in the mid-race.
She's going to improve again, isn't she?
For sure, for sure. Yeah. From what I know, they're going to the Goodwood. Is that right?
Yeah, it could well be the case. Well, yeah, there you go. So there's a little matchup with her in the Climbing Star race that she's probably got more to give, given that she's going to be third up and she's elevated nicely second up.
Yep, for sure. Right. I was quite taken by that.
We'll line that up when we do our preview podcast. By the way, no preview podcast this week. If you want Vince's South Australian data, just go to dailysectionals.com.au. You'll still be doing your race speed profiles. In race four, Vince, I think it's called the John Hawks now. It used to be called the McKay Stakes. Right. It's my claim to fame, Vince. I once strapped the winner of this race 4 million years ago. Brett's asked, one of our members, did extremely lucky show any signs of what he did a couple of seasons ago? Well, the market came for it. It was a blanket finish. Compare what he did in his early days when he was electric. He had a stint with Chris Waller. They've got the money here in a blanket finish. What did he actually show on the clock?
What a performance. 0.3 below benchmark. As crazy as it sounds, 8th best performance of the day, Ralphie. So I just sit back and say, is that giving you some insight of the day or what? It's hard to know, right? But the reality is this horse has gone as well as it could have gone from a campaign point of view. It actually ran virtually identical to what it did at Rose Hill second up. So that sort of gives you the indicator about where this horse is condition-wise. Great job to the stable on what they've been able to do. I mean, I guess he's capable of doing that. Will Clarkin, is that right?
Well, he said he's got it back, and he said it was a fascinating interview post-race because he said he learned a lot about his mistakes he made with his horse when he first had it. So he was quite harsh on himself, and he said basically that there's a horse who's suited by doing things differently to other horses. So it had a stint with Chris Waller, and he's obviously got the mouth guard in now and thinks this has got more to come.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting to see because the horse is, Well, let's just see, Ralph, if the horse could replicate what it's done in the past. But what actually went wrong with the horse?
I think he just didn't vibe with Chris Waller.
Is that all you – okay.
But, of course, it's got a fire in a better class of state in New South Wales is the other thing. Sons Dude hit the line hard. Again, a couple of those ones that we had to be wary with. One was What You Need, that's more from the stable, and it was very well communicated. This horse had serious stakes ability, but it had a wind up. And the other one, though, was Scripper. This is your classic case that you can't lose money when you stay out, Vince, because, you know, you couldn't have outlined any harder that you know, on talent, it probably wins for sure, but there was just nothing in that prep that said you wanted to be on it on Saturday.
And this is the situation. I mean, I was tempted on the horse that ran second, but I obviously wasn't going to go there. It was another race that was just too hard in the end. But Scripper, geez, you talk about like the switch around, and this is what happens when you have too much racing personally, Ralphie. I don't want to knock stables and that. They don't have many good horses, I would imagine. And when you've got one that's got ability, you want to try and run and win everything you can. And I get it, right?
Yeah. But
it didn't work out for the horse. And a one length below benchmark is just marginally better than its worst performance for the campaign, which was third up at Caulfield when it went at 1.4 below benchmark.
All right, we've had a couple of members' questions about the lead in the chairman's to the Derby, so what we'll do, we'll save that for our Group 1 bonus. But in the last race, Vince, before I ask you a couple of questions about Melbourne and Sydney, Chicago Storm, what an easy watch this one was in the last race.
It was rough, and I was glad to be on it, but I couldn't believe the speed, 17 and a half lengths below. Ben, God, goodness me, if I'd have known that before and you could, you know, increase your bet, I would have, right? I mean, that was just... just got away with murder.
So it's just fallen in, but second to none. That's a huge mid-race that's had to produce to nearly catch it. And that's the one the market wanted to go with.
Yeah, and really both horses. Firstly, second to none, just failed to break benchmark for the day, and Chicago Storm 0.3 above. Both of them getting in the top 10, which is very, very good. The challenge is, like, where are these horses going? Anywhere else, or that's it, or they're done?
They might. Well, there's the carnival's still got 2 weeks to go, so there probably might be a race a couple of weeks, and we'll cover it in our pod. Like I said, the chairman's couple of interesting runs there as lead-ins for the Derby, but we'll discuss that in a bonus podcast. If you want to be a member, we don't have any corporate bookmakers, so advertising. We just have members who back us up. So if you want to be a member, for as little as $5 a week, you get our best of the day from whatever state we cover, Melbourne and Sydney every week. And occasionally, like now, South Australia, there'll be Queensland to come. Email to you. We get an opportunity to email questions in to Vince every week when we do the podcast. And Group 1 members get a little bonus podcast most weeks of the year. Caulfield, Vince, give us a hand here. Because Caulfield, when the rail's out 4, the wide lanes were in play. Last meeting, the fence was – it was rail true, but the fence was completely off and the wide lanes were big time. On Saturday, you expect the wide lanes to be in play, and there was this strip 2 to 4 off the fence and the wide lanes weren't in play.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you had a bit of a scenario here, Ralphie, all the way from the 800-metre mark to, again, to the 6 to 4. The track was trending overall about a length and a half to 2 lengths slower than the last 300 metres to the finish line.
Right, all right. Now, a horse like Who Dares, there was good money support for it through the day. This is a horse we put in sizzlers over the summer. It was airborne, and gee, there was a few, and you made the point, as did I, even though, you know, we do our work separately for when we're not doing the podcast together, that a horse like, for instance, the Astrologist, it was clearly had the best data in the race, but it was such an outlier spike when it ran third in the Newmarket. There was queries on quite a few of these. Well, Who Dares was the one probably had the least amount of queries, particularly once the money come for it, but it was a pretty solid performance in race 7.
Well, yes, Ralph, I mean, you're spot on. Small field, good pressure.
Yeah.
First section, there they are. Everybody's pretty much, particularly the first four across the line, they're all asked to go above benchmark. I mean, the second horse is at Simeon.
Yep.
Is running 2.7 lengths above benchmark, putting on a nice speed. I was just looking at that slowdown between the 8 and the 4. As it turns out, it's A, the track, B, the horse starting to, you know, weaken. But who dares? Beautiful position. 0.1 below benchmark first section, fantastic spot to be in. Between the 8 and the 4, pretty much maintained the speed and had something left at the end with a plus 1.6 above. And I just felt that was the winning ingredient in the end.
In the last race, Vince, they, in quotation marks, came for Edison. It was $16 into $8.50. Race morning, it was $26. And, you know, he thought it was going to be hard to catch if it got a soft lead. Did it get a soft lead in race 10?
Well, 5.5 lengths below benchmark through the first section, so beautifully controlling.
Everyone.
Please. Yes, well, very much so. I can't believe – when I say I can't believe it, when I went and had a look, I said, geez, I actually missed that, right?
Yeah.
And then I look back and say, oh, well, if you had gone on the performance back at Flemington over 1,400 metres when it went 0.3 above benchmark, maybe I wouldn't have missed it, right,
yeah,
off that run. But, yeah, of course, I did hear the signal that they were backing this horse. And then left leading at this cruisy speed. And then even in the mid-race, Ralphie, no massive move. I mean, if you compare it to some other horses in the race, I mean, its mid-race squeeze was 8.9 lengths. Some runners in that race had a mid-race squeeze of in excess of 20 lengths.
I've seen more competitive racing. You reckon the owners like this horse? The other two wins it's had for Nick Ryan, 61s into 51s and 15s into 9. So when they put the money on, you're going to respect it anyway. Rose Hill, we'll finish with this one. The best of the day was Waterford. Maybe the best for the day was Nashville Willie. He just had his mouth guard in, didn't he? And this is a horse who's always had a fair bit of a spruik on him. He was obviously – he missed that run the week before when the races were called off on the bog-heavy ground. I reckon Chris Waller will be delighted that that was the case because he's returned with a good figure and maybe he's finally working this horse out.
Well, it was a horse that you sort of – couldn't leave out.
For sure.
It was always going to be potential. But to turn up and run 1.4 above, best performance of the day, that's fantastic. Good speed early. Yep, going 0.6 below benchmark.
He might be one we were going to have a bit of fun with following in Queensland, won't he?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, all right. That's best today. We'll be writing all that, and all our members will obviously get that as well. Thanks so much for listening to Year Round Carnival. Like I said, if you want Vince Cardi's South Australian Derby work via dailysectionals.com.au or mine via racetrackralphie.com.au, including your opportunity to be a member. And next week, we'll return with our preview podcast at Goodwood Handicap Day. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening.